Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing today? God bless you. Welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. And I'm recording this on December 24th, and we want to welcome you today, this program, and this recording. We will be reading the book of Ephesians, and I think it's one of my favorite New Testament books because it has so much about Jesus, the new covenant, who we are in Christ, the words in Christ, talks about Jesus being raised, talks about the church, the fivefold ministry, the spiritual weapons, the family, marriage. This book covers it all, and we're glad to have you here reading the word with us. And it's been a great study this year. Actually, read. If you go down here in the notes of the program, there's a link. It's called link to the complete list or something like that. There's a playlist that has every one of the Read the Words in it. And starts in Genesis on January 1st. December 31st, we'll read the last words of the Bible. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So, you can do the whole Bible. You can do the whole Bible right here on YouTube. And it's an interesting study. We call it the Majestic Word of God because it matches and harmoniously from Genesis to Revelation. Anybody that's ever written a book that talks about the inconsistencies of the Bible, prove they're not good Bible students. Unless, of course, when you open the book, it says there are none. And they just use the title to get you to buy the book. The Word of God is settled forever in heaven and is the only thing that is able to make you stand. So, here we go. Hold your Bible up. We always do this. Make our confession. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. You say, I am what Jesus, the living word, says I am. I go do what he tells me to do right here. Today, as we read this word, it'll go down into the soil of my life and produce an abundant harvest. 100-fold return and more. In my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, you always want to have the majestic word of God. A pen, notebook. I got mine right here. And a cup of coffee or tea, whatever your deal is. So I have my coffee with me this morning. In case it gets long, I even got my other cup of coffee with me. Since my wife's in Michigan with her family. We're ready. Now, I want to start with the city of Ephesus. Because most people don't know this. Ephesians is one of the most powerful books of the New Testament. But Ephesus was a huge city. What did I just read? The gates were 5 miles long. What it was? Anyways, don't worry about it. But Ephesus was the center of the temple of Diana, and the goddess of fertility, a false god. And they built a shrine to her before Jesus came, and in 550 BC, and that one burnt to the ground. Then they built another one, and kings and ignorant people from all over the world built another one. They built another one, and they built another one until it came to the point where it was actually considered one of the seven wonders of the world. However, the Apostle Paul labored in Ephesus for 3 years, and he laid the foundation for one of the strongest churches that there is, and that there is and was then during that time in all of Asia. Now, I've been showing you my book here, all right? And I'll show it to you again. Just give me a second. I got to get to Paul's map here. This is called The Rose Book of Bible Charts, Maps, and Calendars. Really good book. You can go back later and open up this video and see it again. Here, I'll put it up a little longer. That way you get the chance to see it. It's a great book, but I want you to think about this as I open up my map here. Within about 150, 200 miles of Ephesus was Colossae, you know, the Colossians, Laodicea, Hierapolis, Philadelphia, Sardis, Smyrna, Trogyllium, Miletus, Thyatira, Pergamum, and Mysia, and Troas, Antioch, Iconium, Derbe, Lystra, Perga. Within a matter of a couple hundred miles was all of those churches. And Ephesus was the center of it. And Paul built an amazing church. And when you think about it, Timothy was part of the leadership of it. He was one of the pastors that Paul established there. So Paul was working there. And when Paul was working there, the temple of Diana began to decrease. And then the edict of Theodosius that closed pagan temples in 262, literally because of the growth of the church in that area, it shut down the pagan temples. Now, you might say, well, you know, that's it's impossible in our day. No, it's not impossible. We can shut down this wicked perversion that's going on around us if we just do what's in the book of Ephesians. If you didn't have any other book of the Bible but Ephesians, you would go to heaven one of the most mighty warriors there ever was because of the power that's in that book. Now, I want to say one more thing about this city. The city when the excavators began, the walls of the city were 5 miles in length, closing more than 1,000 acres. Its walls were high. Some of its streets were paved with marble. The most significant of these marble paved streets led from the theater to the harbor, 1/2 mile away. It was 35 feet wide, flanked by colonnades, and there were shops and wonderful gateways and monuments. People don't have a problem building something big, guys. They don't. So you and I got to get Jesus and this book, the Word of God, into people's lives so that we can actually do something for God. We don't need to build another building and everybody stand around, look at a building and say, look what we did there. We need to build this building. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I think of Brother David Oyedepo in South Africa. I mean, he's got a church that seats 100,000 people in one service. Well, Pastor, why would he do that? Because sitting outside of the building are 400,000 more. Yeah. They all want to get rid of it. God gave him a vision of creating a place called Canaan Land. And he bought all this property. And everybody on the property is a believer. And they've totally transformed this whole region of Africa. Why? Because a man got his nose in this book and found out who God Almighty was. And that is our answer. Well, here we go. Let's get another big drink of coffee, and we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read the whole book. all six chapters. And that's our reading for today with Read the Word. Here we go. You know, thank God for coffee. Personally, I believe coffee beans are what grow on the tree of life. I think mocha latte flows down the river of life. You can believe whatever you want. I don't have chapter and verse, so that's what I believe. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So it's not only to those saints, but it's to you and me because we're faithful in Christ. Want to say it with me? I am faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for your sins, made you one with the Father again. Father gave Jesus his righteousness. Jesus gave it to you and I, and we get to live in the glory of God. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Circle the word every. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Even though he predestined us. Predestination is for our discovery. I got to just keep going. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Our Father has good pleasure. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You know, there's a bunch of you that don't believe anything about God is abundant, but my goodness, the streets are made of gold. And God helped David and his mighty men put together $1 billion worth of funds to build that temple. And remember, when he built that temple, presence of God filled that temple so strong, the priest couldn't even walk in the door. Read it, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. I like that. The good pleasure he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in him. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In him, we got it all, guys. That we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, I can tell, I just heard somebody say right there, like, man, Pastor, there's so much in that first 14 verses. How can we go on? This isn't a preaching time. This is Read the Word time. If you took them first 14 verses and that's what you read every day, and said, Father, give me the revelation, you could stay in those 14 verses for a year and never mind all the revelation that's in it. Because in him, we have all the fullness of the Godhead living in us. I mean, for Ephesians 1:15, another drink of the coffee. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It's the truth. Sister Leanne and I pray for you guys every single day. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Say it with me. I'm a believer. Well, the exceeding greatness of God's power is moving toward you. Open your Bible and read it. I'm not exaggerating nothing here. According to the work of his mighty power. I love these next four verses. Verse 20. Which he worked in Christ when he, God, raised him, Jesus, from the dead. And then seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Even Jesus is seated in the place that the Father told him to be. We should follow his example. 21. He is far above all principality, far above power, far above might, far above dominion, far above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. There's nothing left that's not put underneath Jesus' feet. And God gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Don't miss this next phrase. The church is the body of the Christ. We are a part of the groom. The fullness of him who fills all in all. You and I, when you study this, are the fullness of Jesus on this earth right now. Woo! 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us. We might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is right now, so are we in this world. The fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Chapter 2, verse 1. Oh, Jesus, help me. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. As you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Remember, Paul's in Ephesus. Huge demonic stronghold. And Paul said, you once were those people. 3. Among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As he is, so are we in this world. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Really, verse 9, you can say, it's not of works, because man will boast, and so will women. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Write this reference down. Psalm 139 says, before your days were even happening, except in your mother's womb, God wrote a book with your name in it. And every day of your life is in that book. And that's what he wants to help you live every single day on this earth. Verse 11. I'm in Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. The veil of the temple was ripped in two. Welcome to all of our viewers on YouTube today. We're glad you're with us. This is a Read the Word program. Stick around. We're reading the book of Ephesians. I'm in Ephesians 2, and I'm in verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity in his own flesh, in his own blood, and the righteousness that the Father gave to Jesus and Jesus gave to us, he put to death all of that. He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. If you've not read it, John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26, Jesus prays for you and I to be one with the Father right here on this earth. Verse 19, therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, I love this, with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, when you start thinking about it, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and so am I. When you think about that, God never built a temple that he didn't know how to make holy. And he will make you holy, even though you may right now not feel like you're very holy. Some of you are like, Pastor, I need God. You just lift your hands. You ready? Just lift your hands and say it. God, my Father, I need you in my life right now through Jesus. Bam. Stick with us. We'll pray again in a minute. Chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Remember, Paul didn't have this great knowledge of God. He was trained as a Pharisee, but God gave it to him by revelation, which is what you and I got to do. The mystery of Christ. See, verse 4, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Everybody in the whole world. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's why Paul said, I am a slave. As God sent him to the Gentiles. Verse 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. The manifold wisdom of God is supposed to be made known by the church, look at this, to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. That means the church is to be schooling demonic forces right now. And we are. You might want to write this in there right now. 2 Thessalonians, and that's 2:5-12, talks about it. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness through Jesus, and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this reason, verse 14, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Here comes Paul praying for us again, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, not your intelligence, not the city you live in or the job you have, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may, look at this, that you may be filled all the fullness of God. See, there's many people that have no idea that verse is in the Bible. That Paul is praying that you and I be filled with all the fullness of God. I know. Somebody said, Pastor, that's a lot of fullness. Yeah, it is. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in him, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now he's going to talk to you and I as the church, as the body of Christ. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But see, some of you weren't called to the ministry of preaching. You were called to the ministry of the marketplace. You're called to that as much as a preacher's called to preach. Some of you women weren't called to be business women. You were called to be mothers and then grandmothers and mothers of the church. But your calling is no different than the calling that's on anybody else in the body. Watch, he's going to say it to you right now, Ephesians 4:4. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And you know that if you're part of the community of faith, this is where I stop and preach for an hour. I love these verses. But we'll keep reading. Sunday guys, you're welcome. Love you, man. Any of you that's with us, you can sign in on the chat and tell us who you are, where we're from. We'll greet you because we welcome you today. Blog Talk Radio all over the world, 53 nations of the world is with us today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Excuse me. Seven again. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift that's in us. Grace was given to you. Yeah, grace is given to me to do this. But grace is given to you to be where maybe you're a grandparent, great-grandparent. I think most people miss the greatest years of their life because they happen from 80 to 120, when you'll be seen as one of the wisest people there is because you've lived long and you've seen it all. Don't surrender your position on this earth. Keep living. Eight. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Jesus went to heaven. He took all the captives with him. When the veil of the temple was rent and Jesus rose from the dead, he brought captives with him. And then he gave all the gifts that God put in him for the earth and he put them on men. We're going to read about it. Verse 9. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth to hell. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he, Jesus, himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, the fivefold ministry gifts that lead the body of Christ. What for? 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith, all of us. And to the knowledge of the Son of the Baptist. Nope. I know. The Son of the Pentecostals. No. To the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now when God, the Holy Spirit, who wrote this, says perfect man, he ain't wasting words. Get your doctrine right. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. They've given themselves to a demonic spirit. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all things into him, Jesus, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Think about it. This hand is a hand all by itself. This hand is a hand all by itself. But every time you do that, think about everything in your body that is working. Think about it. Think about everything in your body that's working to make you grab that grip like that. The whole body must work together. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And whose is it? His. And he gives it to you as a gift. Verse 25, do not grieve the spirit. Now watch this. Therefore, putting away lying. Now, Paul didn't write this letter to the world. He wrote this letter to the church. There's a whole lot of people that are liars in the church. Stop your lying. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, it doesn't mean speaking the truth means you go tell everything about everybody that you know to everybody. That's gossip, tale-bearing, backbiting. That's character defamation, and that's just like murder in God's kingdom. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. Let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Yeah. Every word we say is supposed to impart grace. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You must be able to. By whom you are, were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ and God in Christ forgave you. Chapter 5, here we go to the family now. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints. Can't even say that the saint can do that. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving him thanks. Look at verse 5. You got to get this, folks. For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. It doesn't matter how many times you've said a prayer. You got to realize that righteousness delivers you from this. Fight it every day until you get the revelation of his righteousness. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Think about that. Paul just said to all these people living in the city of the temple of Diana, a false god, and all the perversion that would happen because those wicked gods, I mean, they're wicked. All kinds of sexual perversion happens. And Paul said, it's shameful to even speak of those things. Don't even mention them. Not even in laughing and joking. But all things are exposed and made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the right spirit. It's not alcohol. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, before these next verses, you got to take a big drink. No, because Jesus came and he'll make you a good husband and he'll make you a good wife. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, you don't get left out. Love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish or without blame. Husbands ought to love their own wives and their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's why you got to be so careful about who you get connected to. Because you join everything that they are. You got to make sure they want to be who you are. 32, this is a great mystery I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Chapter 6, we're going to make it. 24 verses. Children, here comes the kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It's the only commandment with promise. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. You're going to have to get them into the kingdom of God and then train them in the kingdom of God. All right, I heard somebody say the other day, I didn't want to go to school, I didn't want to go to church, and I didn't want to go do any of that. But my mom had a real drug problem. She drugged me to church and drugged me to school and turned out to be a good being. Number 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service, as men please, but as a bondservant of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. Masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. And this, I love these verses, because if you'll be a good employee with God watching and knowing that God's watching you every minute of the day, you'll be a good employee. And if you're a good employer, knowing that God Almighty is watching you every day, you'll do things for your employees that nobody ever thought about doing for an employee, and you'll be one of the greatest places there is to work. And people will love you. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, humans, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And we learned yesterday, they're defeated. So the wrestling match you're in, the enemy's already on the mat, pinned by God. You just got to get on top and put your elbow in him. 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness that you get from Jesus, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation, which is the take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The enemy's defeated. He just doesn't know it. Well, he knows it, but you and I have to remind him every day. And that's what that armor's for, is to protect you and remind you, go crush the enemy everywhere you go every day. Verse 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I've sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen and amen and amen. Now, this is the place in the Read the Word program where we say, circle the wagons. What is all six chapters of the book of Ephesians saying to you and me? It's saying that this is the answer. Walk with God every day and realize that God gave kingdom of heaven and put it inside Jesus. And now Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit live in here. And before the foundations of the world were ever set up, God set this whole thing in motion and predestined you and me to find him. Predestination how's that statement go? Predestination is our discovery. It's already done, but you have to discover it. And then you have to get the revelation of it. And that's right here in this book. Well, you might say, Pastor, there's so much in here. How in the world am I ever going to get it? Go back and listen to the video again and again and again and again and again. My pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barkley, I got some tapes. Well, back then it was cassette tapes and CDs now and YouTube videos that I've listened to 100 times. Why? Because there's a revelation in there that I'm missing it somehow. So listen to it again and say, get it, Sam. Come on, brain, open up. Yeah, go stare in the mirror and say, you get out of my way, devil. You get out of my way, flesh. Brain, open up and receive this word. And listen to it again. Make this statement, I receive the word of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost, your heavenly language. Say it, I receive the word of God. And you will find right here is the answer for your life. Let's pray the prayer of salvation, because we never know who's with us. We always want to give everyone an opportunity to know our Jesus. Ready? Pray this with me right here today. Father, in the name of Jesus, you pray. I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16, I believe in you, you give me everlasting life. So Jesus, here's my bold faith statement. Say it with me. I believe you are the only begotten Son of God. And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus. All of your grace and your mercy. All of your love and your righteousness. Filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power. Understand the word, you say. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome. Glad to have you with us. What just happened to you is God Almighty just came and made his abode right here inside of you. And just like he always does, he filled you with all of himself. You're the temple now. And all you got to do is walk with him. You might say, Pastor, I don't know how to be a Christian. Quit worrying about that. Just walk with him every day. Proverbs says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I have two brothers, Joe and Andy, one for each side. But they both got to fall asleep sometime. And all they can do is get as close as rubbing my shoulders. But God Almighty lives within me, leading me from the inside out. And he can be trusted. Wake up every day and just say, Father, help me walk with you today. And he will. He truly will. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Join with us, and we'll help you walk with God every day. In one way or another, we're preaching this gospel every day right here in Jesus' mighty name. It's Christmas time right now when I'm recording, and I call you blessed. Spend some time talking to God and telling him thank you for Jesus. Make sure on Christmas morning you read the Christmas story. Don't read Santa Claus. Read the Christmas story because that's about Jesus. He's the greatest gift that's ever been given. And he lives in you now. And then if you got to, right down there is my email address. Send me ask me a question. Tell me your story. Send us a prayer request. Ask 1,000 questions. It don't matter if somebody's already asked them. Every Saturday night, we have a question and answer session, except for tomorrow night. We won't have anything tomorrow night because it's Christmas Eve and we want you to be with your families. And then, every time we're live, come and join us as much as you have the ability. Share it with your family and friends, and this will be a blessing to many people. Till we see you again. This is what we always say. Remember this. We love you and God loves you and Jesus is Lord. See you soon. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. To all of our friends around the world, thank you for being with us. If you'd like to put this in your own native language, we would love to help you. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Please contact us. Send us an email so we can be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.